You're listening to the Girl Banker Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bartholomew. Just like customer service, your marketing must be thorough and personal. The Twigs Group can help you develop and execute a strong marketing plan that will elevate your business brand, showcasing what makes your bank so special. Visit welovecommunitybanks.com to see how they can help you with your bank marketing. Hey, all you girl bankers out there. Be sure to join the Girl Banker Facebook group where you, along with over 3,000 other women in banking across the country, are sharing ideas, asking questions about best practices, and offering daily motivation to one another. This community has been so helpful to me in my banking career, and I have no doubt that you will find tremendous value in it as well. All you have to do is search for the Girl Banker group in Facebook, answer the questions, and verify that you are, in fact, a woman in banking, and join in on the fun. I'll see you there. Hey, Girl Banker podcast listeners. I'm here to tell you about the new Life is Grand podcast brought to you by Grand Savings Bank. I might be a little biased, but I'm sure excited to tell you guys about this new podcast where a revolving cast of Grand Savings Bank team members uncover the things that make our community so special. Join me and our vice chairman, Tyler Steele, as we host the Life is Grand podcast, now available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Grand Savings Bank is a member FDIC Equal Housing Lender. Hey, everybody. It is Natalie. It's just me, myself, and I today on this podcast. No guest, just me. I'm wanting to celebrate the third anniversary of the launch of the Girl Banker podcast. And I can't believe it's already been 3 years. It's pretty wild. So here I am with this podcast, and it's just me. And so we're going to talk about this today. And earlier, I threw out some questions on Instagram and on the Girl Banker Facebook group, asking my followers there to send in some questions, things for me to talk about in this episode. So some of these are going to be coming in live as I'm getting them. So I'm going to check my phone while I'm recording. Some of them I've already written down. And thank you all to those of you who submitted these questions. I'm excited to answer them for you and hope that you guys like this episode. I do have to say it's kind of funny. I came into the office today. It is Friday after Thanksgiving. I've actually worked from home earlier this week. And so this is my first day in the office. And I don't know what I was thinking, if I was just going to be like a goody-goody that showed up when I could have worked from home. I literally could have got out of bed and walked to my dining room table and plopped down and worked away there. But no, I thought I would impress people and come to the office. And the joke was on me because when I got here, I work in kind of our administrative building. No one else is here today. Everyone else took the day off. So good for them. No judgment to them. But I think the joke's on me for trying to impress people by being present here when actually I just ended up driving an hour to come record this podcast, which is also good. So that's a good thing too. Anyway, so let's get started. So a few things about me. I launched this podcast in 2017. And it came as a result of me being frustrated of going to conferences or events where it was just old white guys at the banker events. And no offense to the old white guys out there. I appreciate you too. But it was kind of discouraging that there weren't very many women, specifically younger women, in attendance. And so I was worried that maybe the message wasn't getting out that banking provided a lot of opportunities for people for careers, and so specifically women. Another fellow girl banker of mine, a friend of mine, Erica Preston, thankful for her for kind of pushing me to really work on this platform, in addition to my friend Allison Twiggs Dyer, who from the marketing perspective helped me build my personal brand. It's strong women and mentors like that in your life that can really make a big difference. So get you an Erica, get you an Allison. They've been all the difference to me, especially with this platform and having a good community of strong women to have my back. There's so many of you out there. I wish I could name you all by name, but I'm so thankful to have you. Got the blog launched. Podcast came later and never looked back. I received some criticism right off the bat. People didn't like the name. Got made fun of, sometimes from family, sometimes from other people in the industry, and it was hurtful, and I wanted to quit almost immediately, and I'm very thankful to my very supporting husband, Colt, who pretty much said, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for the women who need this voice. They need the advocacy for women in banking, to young women who had never even considered banking as an opportunity or as a career, they need you. So put those other ugly things aside and move forward. And I did. And I still have to remind myself of that pretty often because there are still some ugly people out there. But you know, when you put yourself out there, it happens. And so don't let that hold you back. If you're thinking of trying to do something out of the box or something new, there's always going to be people doing that. And those people usually aren't even in the arena playing with you. They're just outside trying to throw shade. So don't let those people deter you from following your dreams. And I'm really thankful to have had that advice early on, or I probably would have folded shop and I would have quit. But here we are 3 years later. And as the blog got started, I just had content out there, specifically one on mom guilt, which I still think resonates very much with me today. And probably most of you who are working moms, whether you're in banking or whether you're in business in general, you get it. You feel guilty if you're at work. You feel guilty if you're at home. It follows you all the time. And so that was one of my first blog pieces. Then I started featuring other women in banking, and that is really, to me, what it was all about, was sharing stories of women across the country in banking that had built their careers and were sharing the life lessons they had learned and trying to climb that ladder, and even young women who were just getting started. So I started featuring young women that were in high school that started as teenagers like I did, and just to show that there's so much opportunity for women in this industry. And then that kind of turned into speaking engagements. I never really thought I would be a public speaker, but it turned into that. And so that created opportunity to fly all over the country and meet a lot of you in person, which was a lot of fun. And of course, this last year, we've been doing them all virtually through Zoom, which is also fun. But I do miss the reaction from the crowd. So looking forward to kind of doing that again someday. And then here we are with the podcast. And if anything, I think the most valuable piece of this platform has been the community. And so there's a private Facebook group that we have. It's called the Girl Banker Facebook group. And you have to be a woman in banking in the United States to be a member of it. And it's 3,300 members strong and growing. If you're listening to this and you haven't been accepted in, it's probably because you haven't answered your questions yet. So I've got about 40 people hanging in the balance that haven't answered their questions. I would love to get you guys in, but I've got to verify that you're a banker. So anyway, that group has really created a great sense of community. We get to share a lot of best practices and motivation and ask questions. And through the whole COVID environment, PPP, shutting our branches down, all those things, that group really exploded. And we all needed each other's expertise and to share the ideas that we were all kind of fumbling through this crazy time together. And so that community has been so, so good. So enough about the platform. You guys get it. You know why I'm here. You know what I do. So I'm going to go to, these are just some random things that people were asking about me personally. So you know that I come from a family farm. I'm the fifth generation to live there. My boys are the sixth. We're very proud of that. Very proud to have a place for them to run and play and learn from the farm way, I guess. And so I'm very thankful for that. And my husband is raising cattle there too. So it's just kind of a neat way to carry on that family tradition. I do commute an hour to work every day at Grand Savings Bank. And I enjoy that commute. What I do on that commute is either catch up on phone calls. I really don't like to do that. I kind of like having that time to myself. It's my wind up, wind down time. But I really like podcasts. I love crime podcasts. I am a crime junkie fan. I like the good old-fashioned Dateline. A recent one from Texas Monthly called Tom Brown's Body was really good. I love that kind of stuff. And so listen to those podcasts a lot. Marketing Money podcast from my pals Josh Mavis and John Oxford. So if you haven't listened to that one and you're a bank marketer, you need to check that one out. And then The Daily from the New York Times. That's another one of them that I really like. So that's kind of how I spend my time on my commute to work and back. If you have good podcast suggestions, send them in. I probably need some new ones because I'm all caught up. So send them my way. Let's see, another question here. So I am a neat freak. This was just quirks that I have. I am a neat freak. I love organization. Big fan of the home edit. I know if people saw inside of my car right now, you'd not probably agree with the fact that I'm a neat freak, but it is kind of like my home away from home. I'm in it so much. My desk is also currently pretty messy, so I'm kind of contradicting myself. But I do love organization. I can't stand saliva noises. I hope to God I'm not making them on this podcast because I wouldn't want to even listen to it myself. Bobby, who does my production, if you can clean it up, do it. I cannot stand saliva noises, chomping, chewing, slurping, any of that drives me insane. If you want to send me over the edge, just chew your gum around me and I'll bounce out of there quick. Other obsessions that I have are, so let's look at this. What am I currently watching? So I guess we're not really all going anywhere very much right now. And so when we do have time at home in the evenings, especially since it's dark by the time I get home, big fan of The Crown. I just wrapped up season 4. I was obsessed with Princess Di whenever I was younger and had a huge crush on Prince William. He's the same age I am. I remember getting in trouble in 9th grade. I was a library aide and I was laminating pictures of Prince William and Leonardo DiCaprio. That was 1997. So big obsession there. And really, really don't like Prince Charles after watching this season. So there's that. I've also been watching Hallmark Christmas movies. I know they're so cheesy, but they've been a nice break. I don't know why. I know how they're all going to end. I know how they're all going to go, but I can't help it. I've enjoyed those. And another thing is the Marvel series. My family's super late to the game. We started with the Endgame. If you're a big Marvel fan, I know you're probably cringing because that's not where you start. That's where you end. But we started with the Endgame. My boys, 10 and 4. Brody and Witten are kind of into it, and so we've been watching one of those movies every night to try to get caught up on all of it. I don't really get it. The movies are okay. It seems like a lot of people fight and no one ever really dies, so I don't understand that. But anyway, we are watching Marvel. Okay, this is a really good question. We'll move on to some more meatier topics here. What would I tell younger Natalie? So what I would tell her is you can't please everybody. Self-care is really important. You need to really focus on what is best for you and keep the eye on the prize. There's going to be times when you think that you need to quit and that you need to give up, but don't do that. Don't let toxic people tear you down or derail you. Really pay attention to who you hook your wagon to. That's what my boss always says. Those are things that I would tell the younger Natalie. Also, to keep more of an open mind and broader perspective and to never stop thinking big. I don't think I really started thinking that way until later on in my career. I'd really boxed myself in. I'm not sure if others did that to me, and so I did it to myself. Kind of wish that I had started that earlier on and thinking that, realizing that you go to work every day, you should love what you do. We spend way too much time at the office. So love the people you work with, love what you do, and you won't work a day in your life. Very appreciative to be where I'm at Grand Savings Bank. Love the people here, love my job here, love the flexibility they give me to do this platform and to share it with all of you. Yeah, so that's what I would tell younger Natalie. Things I wish I had known when I started The Girl Banker. So I kind of mentioned this earlier. I think the first thing is be prepared for haters because they're going to come out of the woodwork. When you put yourself out there, these things happen. We've established that. Be prepared for that. Be prepared for not everything to go over really well. I'm one of those, I appreciate immediate gratification. I want to know that everyone loves it, that people love what I'm putting out there. And that's not always going to be the case. And that's okay. I think I also probably wish I had established the fact that I don't need to create a rigid schedule. This is kind of my side hustle, so I can do it at my own pace. And I think the sooner that I realized that, the better off I was. Additionally, I think I would have prepared better for the travel back when we could do that. Last year specifically, I started developing some severe anxiety whenever I would travel. I was really creating an unrealistic schedule. I would schedule flights to where I would have minimal time gone from home and from work, which doesn't sound like a bad thing, but what it was doing, it was just creating this crazy, unattainable schedule for me to get to places with no room for error, with any kind of travel problems. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I would have traveling right before speaking engagements. And I was always able to show up on stage and deliver, but there were several where I would have really bad anxiety attacks the night before. I would never sleep. I had one instance where My flight lasted a lot longer because we were flying around a storm. So I landed in Denver, Colorado, like at 11, and I should have been there at, I don't know, 10, no, 9. And then I was supposed to drive a rental car into the mountains, which was like a 2-hour drive. And so by the time I got the car and took off by myself into the mountains, I didn't realize that the car's headlights weren't on. And so I literally drove without headlights in the middle of the night through the mountains with logging trucks driving by me. It's really incredible that I was not hit and that something really bad didn't happen. But when I got there, I got pulled over. And I remember breaking down and the police officer was like, hey, your headlights aren't on. I missed my exit. It was a really crazy situation. And then I get to this gorgeous resort. Of course, it's the middle of the night, so I can't see anything. And I had really bad altitude sickness. So I never went to bed. And I had to speak at like 8 o'clock. So this was the Colorado Bankers Association Women in Banking Conference. If you were there, I hope that you enjoyed my presentation. But all of that was because I didn't give myself enough time. I literally was trying to burn the candle at both ends and it did not work. I was able to present, it worked, it was fine. Hopped back in my rental car, drove back to the airport, and I think I like died on the plane and slept finally. But that was an experience I'll never forget. And I remember making a vow to myself, I would never schedule things that close. And if I couldn't make it work, then I would either turn down the engagement or make some other, I don't know, I would work more on accommodating myself than on everyone else, because that just about got me. Okay, so the next question is imposter syndrome. Gosh, that's more of a statement or a problem than really a question. I deal with it all the time. I was actually thinking about this on my drive up today, just because I think that this is something that all women deal with. Like, we don't deserve to be here. We're not doing a good enough job. Others could do this better. Who are we fooling? I deal with this all the time. And so what I would say to you is, whoever asked this question or anyone that is listening that is dealing with this too, is that you do deserve to be here. You know you've done the work. You know that you bring value. You know that you deserve a seat at the table if you've put in the work and that you've done the time, the research, the prep. You know it. You know it in your gut. So don't let other people or yourself talk you out of that. If everyone just waited till everything was perfect to do things, I don't think anything would ever get done. If you ever think you're not good enough, you're never going to be. You know it. So jump out there, do something, do the things that you're wanting to do. Start something different, start something new, and don't wait till the perfect time. If I had waited for the perfect time to do this podcast, I would have never done it. I'm literally doing this podcast in my office here at the bank. I've got my little podcast microphone inside of a Rubbermaid tub with a bunch of foam in it and my head stuck in there. So if you could see this right now, you would know I'm not in a studio, clearly. Very humble beginnings. You have to start somewhere. So if you want to talk imposter syndrome, nothing says imposter syndrome by doing a podcast inside of a Rubbermaid tub that you would put your Christmas decorations in. So just keep that in mind. You have to start somewhere. The next question was about being present at work and being present at home. And I think that that's a really good question. I'm probably the last person that should answer this. I'm sure if my husband ever listened to this, I don't think he's ever listened to my podcast. But if he did, he would probably say that I had a lot of work to do here. And I would agree with him that I do. It's very easy to either bring home with you to work, and it's very easy to bring work home with you. Learning boundaries. You've got to set boundaries, boundaries for work and boundaries for home and your time there. And so knowing when to shut off. I know I had a lot of a really hard time. And those of you who are still working from home, you might understand this too. Stopping at 5 o'clock or even taking a lunch break. There was some kind of guilt that I had about being at home and working that I wasn't doing enough, so I would just work more. And you don't have to do that. Be present for where you're at. If that means putting your phone down a little bit, that's something I've got to work on. Leaving it in the car or whatever you have to do so it's not just within a hand's reach. Being present for your kids, that time is very precious. It's not going to last long. They're going to grow up. Facebook's always going to be there in its own nasty way. So less Facebook, more kids, when you're at work, engage with your employees, engage with your coworkers, use that time wisely. You know, that's another thing I think I learned from working at home too, is that there's a lot of time at work where you may not be as productive, but you have that engagement with your team. And that's really where good collaboration comes from. So being present at the right time, set boundaries so that you can do that. Guys, this is a work in progress for me, so I'm not perfect at it. So I'm probably the last person that you want to ask about being present. The next question was about building a personal brand. Building a personal brand has been one of the most rewarding things, I think, at this stage of my career, especially with this platform. And my friend Allison Twiggs Dyer really taught me what a personal brand was and how to develop it. Because when I first started this platform in 2017, I was like, people aren't going to, they're not going to care about what I have to say. And you may not care now, but what do I have to say that anyone's going to want to listen to or read? And realizing that you have to establish yourself as an expert in something, right? So there's a lot of opportunity for community bankers specifically to build a personal brand. You're already great at something, whether it's mortgage lending, or maybe you're the best CSR at your bank, or maybe you're the best CFO or CEO or president or teller or CAO, CRO. We have all these different positions in banking and marketing, IT, all these things. Establish yourself, whether it's on social media or within your bank. You create your personal brand by the attitude you put off, the vibe that you put off. You know, most of my personal brand came from social media. So establishing myself as an advocate for women in banking. I mean, you have to start somewhere. So you have to decide what you're going to define yourself as, and then be consistent and stay true to that. So being consistent in putting content out whenever you can. And I do it on Facebook. I do it on Instagram. I do it on Twitter, LinkedIn, through this blog, through this podcast, through speaking engagements, any way that you can reach your audience. So you're going to have to define what it is you want to be, define your audience, and then figure out what your communication method is going to be based on that audience. So if your audience is on social media, then that's probably where you need to be. If your audience is at the chamber meetings, then that's where you need to be. Figuring that out, that's up to you. I can't tell you where that is, but building that personal brand has been a fun thing for me. I enjoy it. I will tell you, if you don't enjoy it, then don't bother, because that consistency component is so important. And if you aren't loving it and get a thrill out of engaging with people on social media or at meetings or whatever it is, then that's probably not going to be your jam. So making sure that you have the passion for it is the next big thing. Patience is another huge virtue when it comes to building a brand. Not getting hung up on followers or reaffirmations. That's really not what it's all about. But it certainly can establish you as an expert, and it can certainly give you a leg up with competition, with networking, with building your career, especially if you're a young woman. There's a lot of opportunity there. Reach out to me. I've got a blog post about this. But great question. Building a personal brand has been such a fun thing, and it's really evolved. I think my brand has evolved as I have evolved. I think initially I was just this young mom and building this career. Now I feel like I've evolved in the kind of messaging. I'm trying to be very authentic. You know, I just talked about having anxiety, sharing that, having imposter syndrome, sharing that, also sharing the successes and the wins, and knowing how to ask for more money or demand that seat at the table. You know, there's all these different things that I think that we can share with each other. And I think my brand has really evolved as I have, and it should with you too. The last question was, has the girl banker evolved as I thought it would? Which is a great segue, given what I just talked about with my personal brand. You know, I don't know what I was expecting. I get asked that a lot. Like, what's the next step? Where do you want this to go? I don't know. I started with wanting to be an advocate for women in banking. I started wanting to tell young women that there were opportunities in this industry. And here we are. It's not where I want it to be yet. I feel like we could do bigger, greater things if I have the time for it. Some people say, am I going to take this full time? I'm not the girl banker if I'm not a banker. I'm just the girl. So my gig here at Grand Savings Bank is my numero uno priority, and it will remain that way. And I'm thankful for the flexibility they give me to do this platform and to be able to talk about the bank at a national level. I mean, this is a great community bank. I've got awesome coworkers. We're doing some really cool stuff here. So I'm thankful to be able to help evolve that message as the platform has evolved. But I don't think I expected to do a podcast. I never thought I'd have the equipment to do it. And I mean, that equipment's pretty meager, but it's here and I have it. And it's working and you guys are able to hear it because of this, but I don't know what I expected it to do. I think I thought I was just going to put posts on a blog and that you guys would read them maybe and share them on social and you might follow along. I don't think I was prepared for the community that it created. There's been a lot of you that I've met either on social that later led to meeting in person, or I've just met you on social, but I know your names, I know your social handles, I know your Instagram handles, and it's so fun to meet you guys in person. You know, I've had just some great experiences getting to know y'all, and that engagement is everything. I don't know that I would have kept going with the platform had that community not been created. So all of you that have supported this, all of you who have engaged, those of you who are new to it, those of you who are just starting maybe a career in banking and think that you've gotten yourself into something crazy, welcome. And I hope that you'll stay a part of this community and know that we've all got this. I'm excited to see, too, that the number of women that are attending conferences, that the number of state associations that are having women in banking conferences, those numbers are growing. And banks are seeing it as necessary and important to support the women in their organizations, to promote the women in their organizations, to put them on boards and put them on their board specifically. They're seeing value in that. And that means that we're doing something. That means we're moving the needle. And it's all because of you guys. And I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for listening to me ramble today. I can't believe it's been 3 years of this craziness. I'm so, so thankful for it. So, so proud to be able to do this with you guys, not for you, but with you. And thanks for riding along. Be sure to subscribe to the Girl Banker podcast so that you don't miss an episode. And follow me on Instagram at The Girl Banker. The views and opinions expressed in the Girl Banker podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency. It is produced by Natalie Bartholomew and Bobby Hudspeth.